You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
You know, I'm glad that we can have the creative voice of the RZA to bring us the completely original story of four friends growing up in a poor part of the country who have to resolve their lives down to crime to make money and make something of themselves. Which movie was this one? Because this sounds like five other things I've reviewed for Screener Squad. I don't know about you guys.
Well, it sounds like the story of the Wu-Tang Clan, like in that show that they did for Hulu. This is just, it's basically just his life done in a more kind of comic book fashion.
I wish there was even more comic book fashion. At least it would have some body to it from there. But we are talking about Cutthroat City, or the RZA's Cutthroat City, depending on which marketing you're reading at any time. And I am Ben. With me is Shaq.
What's up? What's up?
Adrian.
What's good?
And Trevor.
Howdy, howdy.
And I feel like I kind of just explained the whole story of this movie. But Shaq, would you like to kind of go into a bit more detail about what the story is here?
Yeah, sure. For sure. We're going to toss it out to the brother. I see you. Like Ben mentioned, this follows four friends led by Blink, played by Shameik Moore. Also in the group is Miracle, played by Demetrius Shipp Jr., who most notably played Tupac in All Eyes on Me, like the Tupac biopic. Looks so much like him, not a great actor.
Yeah, I know. I was like, even still, like when they try to change it up, but not much here.
Most of the movie looks like three guys hanging out with Tupac.
Yeah. And just rounding out the group is Andre, played by Denzel Whitaker. No relation to Denzel or Forrest Whitaker. And the one white guy of the group, Junior, played by Kian Johnson.
Which I do love that it's a movie with a token white guy. That actually made me very happy.
That white man had amazing cornrows. Like, who did his hair?
Keenan Johnson playing Shia LaBeouf's character in his next movie.
Pretty much. Also, for those who recognize him, Keenan Johnson was like the main love interest in Alita Battle Angel. He was good, but he had some really shitty dialogue back then.
And now?
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that was him.
Yeah. It took me a minute because I was like, that white boy looks way too familiar for me.
And I was like, that guy really looks like Tupac.
Yeah. When this movie starts off, it's Blink at his wedding. They're all just like, they're all enjoying the youth of their lives. And then Hurricane Katrina happened. Like, literally, this takes place in 2005. And so their lives have gone just down the shitter as naturally as it would happen, considering they live in like the lower ninth ward of New Orleans. And money turns to desperation. And they eventually turn into a life of crime where they start robbing casinos for Blink's cousin, what's the dude's name?
Cousin Bass, played by T.I.
With a horrible New Orleans accent. Like, my lord.
I didn't even realize he was supposed to have one. He just sounded like T.I. T.I. is not the best actor, and this
he's not a great actor, but, like, he's usually charismatic enough to where, like, I can bypass any, like, roughness or like newbiness that I would say of an actor.
Is he also not normally a main character?
He's also not a lead character, but man, he was just hamming it up like ridiculousness with his like evil villain.
He totally worked for me in this. Yeah, for that reason. Like he was dialed in, he was balls to the wall, he was 100% sold from the word go until he's off screen. And just that, like I watched him the whole time. He's kind of got a vitiligo thing going, the character does. And I don't know that that makeup was particularly well realized on an HD screen, but
I appreciate they try to do something better or more interesting with his character visually, even, because he otherwise kind of comes off as a generic, you know, gangbanger, gang leader design, you know, character. But I feel like we're easily getting off track, because basically that's the main plot. It's like they get kind of screwed over by Cousin Bass and everyone else, and they kind of go on the run, then somehow become bigger criminals. It kind of loses its own plot and concern for these characters' morality very quickly, I think.
Yo, they go out of control. Like, halfway through, they start introducing, like, at least, like, six more characters. Like, Ethan Hawke shows up as, like, a corrupt councilman with amazing just fedoras the entire way through. Who else is it? Wesley Snipes as Blink's father, who shows up in, like, the late act, although he was actually... He was pretty solid good from like the brief moment he was
in. I liked him, yeah.
Wesley Snipes has just been like, every movie I'm going to be in these days, so I'm just going to bring it, because I realize it's a lot better than jail.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's also like a cop played by Isaac Gonzalez, who's like on the trail for these boys, thinking they might be pawns in a bigger play, which they are. Like you mentioned, it's a lot of fucking cliches.
Yeah, I was really busy today, and I was wondering, like, okay, how much time do I have to dedicate to this movie, and like, will I get done in time? I checked IMDb to see how long this was. Guys, this movie is 2 hours, and it feels like it feels like it's an entire season of a show in one movie, and unfortunately a lot of that time kind of feels meandering. There's a scene with Ethan Hawke where it's like it kind of felt like they had no idea where to put that in the movie.
You mean the one when he's in the graveyard by himself,
when he's talking in the cemetery?
Yeah, where it's like, I think they just went, look, we have Ethan Hawke, we need to give him a scene to just act his ass off by himself, right? Yeah, sure.
And he does.
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is, as I said, like, they kind of throw their morality out the window super quickly. Like, they do this job, none of them seem, even when they're on this job, trying to kill anyone. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, man, we're on the run. You know what we got to do? We got to go start robbing every single person and truck stop we can get to. And they go on the biggest, like, crime run and crime spree out of even, like, all the big criminals in this movie. And I'm just like, dude, none of these guys are supposed to be, like, the actual criminals and gangbangers. They were guys who were trying to find out how to get out of this mess.
I want to mention that, like, there's one aspect that I wish that they used a lot more, but they don't really go back to that much, is that Blink, his whole thing is that he wants to be a comic book artist. And there's an amazing intro at the beginning of this that's, like, fully animated and everything.
Oh, the credits are incredible.
Dude, the opening credits are so good. And I wish they kind of used that aesthetic a bit more or played with that a little bit more. But it's something that you completely forget about until, like, the third act, and not even like just the third act, but like the last 5-10 minutes.
Also, if you're watching this and you see that really good animated, well, not animated, but that comic book intro that they have, you may be thinking to yourself, oh, this is a foreshadowing of how the movie's probably going to end up, and that's going to be really cool. Nope, do not look forward to that. This, like they mentioned, it just completely gets ignored and kind of forgotten.
Yeah, honestly, like, I expected that too. And we had a little bit of discussion before, of course, about the RZA's directing career, where I generally think he's actually pretty okay as a director. He's not amazing, but, you know, I like The Man with the Iron Fist because he's got some style. And this does not have any style past that comic book scene. There's one more scene with any real style, I think, which is the one where they're actually deciding to start just being, you know, criminals robbing everyone. Because for some reason, he's like, let me slow janky pan up to this sign and then back into the room where they're all, you know, in the same places but dressed for crime. And I'm like, why?
That was a creative shot, but yeah, I wish, again, there was more creativity, because, like, RZA, when it comes to, like, music, is maybe one of the most ingenious people to ever live. Like, honestly, he's so genuinely innovative and cinematic within, like, the music world, and that you would think that that creativity would kind of translate into film itself. Like you mentioned, with Man with the Iron Fist, is like, there is that style there. I don't feel like he has enough in him to, like, push it into, like, a brand new direction that I feel like he can do. Like, there's so much potential in him, but I think it's also, like, hampering that the script in this sucks.
It's rough. It's really rough.
It's so bad.
I can't help but feel like the movie in the script had so many ideas. Like his wife at the beginning of when it's the wedding, there's like almost like she has jitters, like she doesn't actually love him. And then it's like she starts giving up things for him and be like, I just want my husband home and I care. It's like, wait, the movie almost set you up as like you don't care and you're not sure if you love him. And that could have been an interesting plot point later on. But instead, you're super committed to him the next time we see you. And the second things go horribly, horribly fucking wrong.
She becomes less of a character the longer the movie goes on.
It's just disappointing with that too, because I don't think she's a bad actor. I don't think anybody who's a main character is inherently a bad actor. Some, like, I, you know, are not as amazing as others for sure, but we're not getting a good performance out of Shameik Moore, who I think is a terrific actor.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Shameik Moore, I think ever since I saw him in Dope, I thought, I love this dude and I can't wait to see what he does next. I don't want to blame him because we've obviously seen him give good performances in this movie. He's the leading man and I don't really know why we should be following him. He's not charismatic. He's not really even doing a good job at saying his lines. And I think that might be the direction that he's under, because he's mumbling through a lot of this shit. I really wish that the movie came with subtitles, but yeah, it's a lot of it's like, I don't know what you're saying, and I usually do, Shameik. What are you doing right now?
No, you heard? It's like, yeah. No, I didn't hear.
The only other time in this movie that they, before you meet him, that they named Terrence Howard's character the Saint, I swear to God, I didn't realize they said the words the Saint. The Shane, that's an interesting name to go with, but sure, because they just mumble straight through so much of this crap.
I will say, though, Terrence Howard, and this is the problem, is they give Terrence Howard this giant Shakespearean soliloquy to deliver, and he's Terrence Howard, he brings it, he's saying some cool shit, and then they toss to our main characters, they toss to Shameik Moore, who has to very subtly kind of mumble through his next line, and he's never in a position of power, you know?
Don't come at this if you're a Terrence Howard fan either, because this is basically a cameo.
Yeah.
They must have gave him like $500,000 and he was like, you got 5 minutes, man. That's how long he was in the film, essentially.
I legitimately forgot he was in the movie. So like when they showed his name in the opening credits, but I completely forgot about it because he doesn't show up until at least like over an hour into the movie. Yeah. And when he shows up, I literally yelled, what the fuck?
Like, I forgot too. And like when he shows up, you're like, this is great, because the only other bad guy other than T.I. we've seen the whole time is Rob Morgan, which I do like Rob Morgan a lot, but
he's good.
He's basically just playing like another version of Turk from Daredevil here, though. It's like, I'm the guy who knows the streets, can get you anything, and, you know, everybody listens to me. It's like, okay, yeah, we've seen you play that character before. Can somebody cast you in something different so we can actually see your range better? Because you're a good actor.
I mean, like, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, he's really good in that, and he's not doing the same thing.
That's fair. It's just, I just keep seeing him in the same thing. And that's, again, the problem with this whole movie is, like, they try to tease this. I feel like the trailers and everything I read about it was really trying to play up the stuff about Katrina and being in the Ninth Ward. And they bring it up occasionally, but, you know, there's a big thing towards the ending that is the part of the really confusing ending that we're going to touch on probably in a minute here, because I think most of us were confused. But, like, I kind of thought that was going to be a bigger thing with this. When they say that they're trying to get up from under, you know, a crime boss, I thought that ending that we saw there was going to be what they do to try to get up from under him. And it was going to be some kind of other moral victory, as opposed to them, you know, basically going deeper into actual crime, as opposed to kind of Robin Hoodie crime, which that would be counted as.
Well, and there was just a lot of threads in this that you could pull on that just never went anywhere. There was this implication of false police officers. There's Izia Gonzalez character, who is a pretty paint-by-numbers cop who doesn't actually affect the story that much at all. There's a weird relationship she has with Shameik Moore's character, where they had been in college previously. And it's just, there's so many long little threads that it's like, okay, at 2 hours, I should have gotten closure on more of these.
even Ethan Hawke's character, you think he's maybe just going to be like a villain in the movie or some kind of two-timing asshole. And he has his own little subplot that the film clearly has no time for, because they wrap it up in a mid-credit stinger.
Dude, if y'all had not told me that there was a mid-credit stinger, I would have completely missed that.
Oh God. The only reason I saw there's a mid-credit stinger is I'm like, this can't be the end, because none of this made sense. And then mid-credit stinger, and then more things that made no sense. Like,
it's a long stinger too.
Yeah, it's a pretty long stinger. And like, I'll even say it enriches the movie. Like, this movie is poorer for having that in the mid-credits instead of just stapling it to the end of the movie.
I definitely agree, because as I said, like, the ending gets really muddled, because there's a point where you feel like, you know, there's an upturn, you know, we're past the climax of the movie, and then all of a sudden shit goes crazy again for a minute, and then they don't give you any clear context past that point, because then it changes again drastically after that. The mid-credits stinger kind of gets you somewhere, and then it throws you another curveball. Like, it feels really like it had no idea what it wanted to do with wrapping up this story or these characters in any way.
I think if anything can wrap up, it's us on this review, because I don't know what the hell else to say about this movie.
Well, that, I was about to say, we're getting there. So, Adrian, why don't you roll in your final thoughts so you don't have to try to contribute more to it.
RZA, man, I love you. I love Wu-Tang Clan. You gave one of the greatest film soundtracks of all time with Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. But when it comes to making movies, it's just not for me, man. I'm not feeling what you're doing. And unfortunately, this is kind of more evidence to that. This is a run-of-the-mill gangster flick that doesn't do anything crazy enough to stand out, and it doesn't do anything well enough to really recommend. I'm not mad that I saw this, but I'm not going to watch it again. And I really can't tell people to watch it, because it's kind of just not that good, which is a shame. You can totally skip this. I am going to give this two things that I can't even think of for this mundane movie out of five.
Jesus. Geez. Trevor, do you want to roll to yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think I liked this more than I didn't, but I really wanted to like it, and I think I'm kind of dragging it over the finish line, so I'm going to say I'm over the hump on it. However, there's a lot here that I like. I like some of the performances. I like some of the camaraderie between the characters. There are some things that do work. There are some things that don't work. There is a particularly heinous form of bodily punishment that is exacted by one of the gangsters in this film. And no. Like, the implication's pretty horrific, but the way it's directed, you're just like, this looks like it was made for TV.
Right.
And so, to that end, like, I think, and I did like a lot of the Ninth Ward stuff. I liked a lot of the social commentary here, but I don't think the writing rose to the level of the allegory that it was seeking to conjure. All in all, I'm just going to say 5 out of 10 on this one for me. I'd say 5 out of 10 beignets from the French Quarter in New Orleans.
Yo, you got me hungry for those right now.
Shaq, why don't you give us your final thoughts?
This had so much potential, and you could see brief glimmers of it, like where you want this to go, but it just doesn't. Like, it doesn't take enough advantage of its setting, like a very unique setting that doesn't really get taken advantage of much. Just good cast. Just all of it just hampered down by really shitty writing and just I would say subpar direction. RZA, you can do much better than this. I know you can do much better than this. Yeah, this is just really depressing. I'll give this 5 out of 10 Cash Money Millionaires, because shout out New Orleans.
Again, it does sound like we're all in that same boat. We're just like, you know, I had some hope for this. And again, seriously, the premise of being, you know, in the Ninth Ward and like the impact of Katrina and how our country let New Orleans down and the impact on the people there could have been great. But it becomes so much just like, oh yeah, we need to mention the Ninth Ward for the sixth time without it going anywhere. anywhere. They get some great actors in here. Some people I love to death. And you get a couple good performances. Wesley Snipes, Terrence Howard, and Ethan Hawke, especially, just like, they prove why they're veteran actors that you pay to see movies with. But it just lets down so much of its other talent. Lets down the RZA himself. He shouldn't be keep putting his name on it as the RZA's Cutthroat City, because you don't want this to be your calling card, dude. This is not style. This is literally a story that could have been interesting to tell, done mediocrely with a bad writing, and I don't know if I can recommend this to anyone, really. So yeah, I'm gonna give it 5 out of 10 strip clubs where evidently you can play whatever game you want to if you keep throwing down hundreds.
Oh, actually, before we go, I gotta mention this, because this is the hardest I had ever, maybe the hardest I've laughed like this week. The scene after they do their first robbery, and the one of the kids, they go to a strip club. And I'm just listening to the song in the background,
is it saying,
and it's
nuts?
Just like somebody going, "D's
it
nuts."
It is saying that, okay.
It's supposed to be a dramatic scene, and all you just hear is,
"D's nuts." I thought I was going insane.